All right, g'day everybody. Welcome to the Final Play Podcast. This week we're going to be running through what has happened in week six of the NFL regular season and obviously go through some of the news and some trades that have come up just recently in the last sort of, 12 to 24 hours throughout the league as the trade deadline rapidly approaches in 2 weeks, as far as I know. So, my name's Miles, and with me today, and well, generally always, is Jason. He's feeling fantastic today. So, how are you, mate?
Yeah, good. How are you? I actually sound like Barry White, I think. But we'll see how we go. Maybe I will just build it.
Harry Smith White, yet another name change.
Your love, baby.
Okay, we're all in on Barry Smith White. Okay, excellent.
Yeah, I'll take that.
Is that going to be hyphenated or?
Well, it depends. If I can keep this voice, it will be hyphenated. If I don't, I'll just go back to Jason Smith. So we'll see how we go.
Jason A. Smith.
Oh, don't even talk about that. That is a whole other issue. I don't want to be associated with that man.
We all love Stephen A. Smith and his absolute disdain for the Dallas Cowboys fans. Anyway, let's just run through the results from the previous week. So all the way back on Thursday, the Patriots beat the Giants 35-14. The Sunday crop of games, Carolina went over to London and beat Tampa 37-26. Baltimore beat Cincinnati 23-17. Seattle went into Cleveland and looked ordinary to start, but got it together and won 32-28. New Orleans traveled to Jacksonville, got the job done 13-6. Houston 31 over Kansas City 24. That was an interesting game.
Yep.
That was Miami was won by the Redskins 17-16 over the Dolphins. Minnesota beat Philly 38-20. Arizona defeated Atlanta 34-33 on a missed point after touchdown by Matt Bryant. So that's a bit of a killer. San Francisco traveled to LA and beat the Rams 20-7. Denver blanked the enigma that is the Tennessee Titans 16-0. The Jets, Jets beat the Dallas Cowboys 24-22 in an absolute stunner. So I guess we'll talk about that. Pittsburgh traveled to LA, so two losses in LA this week. Pittsburgh defeated the Chargers 24-17, and the Monday night game was a good game as well, apart from some officiating discrepancies. But Green Bay got the job done 23-22 over Detroit. So where do you want to start off? Do we want to have a little? There wasn't much really to sort of talk about with that the Pats Giants game on Thursday.
No, not really. I mean, Sony Michel finally getting some yardage or starting to be a running back that, you know, that I always thought that was really good, getting 86 yards with 22 carries, but. Yeah, nothing really, you know, stood out. I mean,
it was a game up until the fourth quarter.
So I mean, it was Pats being Pats. Like you're right. I mean, the Giants were definitely in that game, but it was just Pats being Pats. It wasn't really nothing else to sort of go into about them. I don't know. Can they lose? I mean, not obviously they'll lose, but it's their defense that's winning them games. It's definitely not the offense, clearly.
No, that's right. Well, Brady didn't pass for a touchdown and threw an interception. So even though he was fairly solid, that's the thing. They're going on a little bit of a power running game at this point in time, you know, with their two running backs, James White and Sony Michel, who's taken a long time to sort of get into this season. Like James White has been a lot more productive, but he's also a better pass catcher than what Michelle is as well. So I think that's sort of, I think that's sort of that bears fruit a little bit more. But if they're going to more of a power running game than, you know, than defensively, it's the same mold really as the 49ers.
Yeah.
You know, a power running game and an unbelievable defense. And it's not coincidence that both of those teams are the only two undefeated teams remaining. So,
I thought Golden Tate,
just thought Golden Tate is starting mm-hmm. to look better. That's his second game now, definitely. As a New York Giant. So that's sort of giving Daniel Jones a little bit of a good receiver to throw to. So that will definitely help them out in the long run.
The game that I did want to sort of start off with was the Carolina Panthers and Tampa Bay Buccaneers, who I guess not two teams we normally talk about. It was a decent crowd in London. The main reason I wanted to bring it up was probably the obvious, which is Christian McCaffrey. Is this guy?
He got through some work.
That's right. Is this guy, and I know he's a running back, and I know we're only talking week six, but is this guy MVP material already? Because
he's legit. He is legit MVP material.
Yeah, he gets through you're right. He's getting through the work. He's we said this the last couple of weeks. I think I'm so scared he's going to burn himself out, or the Panthers are going to burn him out. I should say, but.
Well, who else? That's the thing. Who else have they got to lean on? Like that's the thing, you know. DJ Moore and Curtis Samuel are their sort of main receivers. Greg Olsen is looks like he's getting older with every second that he plays on the field. Like, you know, he's still a nice safety blanket, but it's clearly, you know, McCaffrey, and you know it's no coincidence that they're 4-2. Like. There is no way that I would have thought that by week six that the Saints would only have a one game lead on Carolina in this division.
Yeah, correct. I think it was just an interesting game for the fact of, not only Christian McCaffrey, but I don't know, Tampa Bay Buccaneers are one of those teams that their offensive is great. Like, they've got Chris Godwin, who's lining it up in wide receiver, and
Evans.
Yeah, and Jameis Winston, who's throwing for 400 yards. Yes, it was five interceptions.
Jameis Winston is just. I said it at the start of the year. He is just a turnover machine.
Yeah, it was five interceptions.
He throws a pick on the first play of the game. Like, that's got to be so deflating for your team when you trot your offense out there to go, okay, cool, you know, let's get this game started. And he goes out there and he throws a pick.
Yeah, you're right. I mean, there's five interceptions in that game. Five. I just think they could be a great side if it's just their defense. Like, they could be a really, really good side, I think. I mean, you're right. Jameis Winston's. He's still 23, 24 and needs to stop throwing picks all the time, but their offensive weapons are too big enough to not be 2-4 at least in this sort of first outing.
Oh, of course.
For the first 6 weeks.
Well, that's the thing, yeah. Like, and plus they've also got OJ Howard, who's no slouch at tight end. So their offensive weapons, they've got Peyton Barber and Ronald Jones as their running backs. Like, they're, you know, they're good, solid running backs. Like, yeah, there's nothing wrong, you know, really with the weapons that he's got there. It's just he's got 10 interceptions on the season.
Yeah, and yeah, for like I said, that game didn't look so bad.
Yeah, no. That's right. That didn't look so bad. Apart from this game where he threw as many this game as what he had all season. So it's just, he hasn't really lived up to the billing. And
yeah,
you know, a lot of talk on sports talk radio this week has been, you know, what do Tampa and Tennessee do with those top two picks from the 2015 draft? There's a reason why both of those guys haven't been extended, as in contract wise. there's a reason why, because they're just some of the things that they're just not living up to the billing of the number one pick, which was Winston, and the number two pick, which was Mariota.
No, that's right. And Mariota, that's what I was going to touch on with the next game. Yeah, we'll talk about that later. But Mariota, yeah.
Winston won a national championship with Florida State.
Yeah.
Like he's got the pedigree. He just can't stop throwing picks.
Do you like taking the games overseas? Like that was 60,087, so it was a decent crowd. Are you a fan of that?
Yeah, no, like to grow the game, yes, but I think it's sometimes it's a little bit unfair for the fans of that team who's actually taking the home game over there, because there's only eight home games a season, so you're taking one of those away, so that means your team is only getting seven games in their own stadium, you know? But that's the only reason. Yeah, it's different with the NBA and stuff because, you know, they've got 41 home games that they can free and throw around all over the joint. But, you know, with the NFL, they've had a couple of London games now. I think Oakland took a game over there, was it the week before, and now Tampa's taking this game over there. So it's,
I don't know, compensated, but surely, wouldn't they? Maybe not the fans, obviously, but the team.
That's all I'm sort of going on is like coming from a fan's perspective. It's like, okay, we only get eight home games a season, and now we take them on over the pond, and take them on to London. So that means you only get seven home games in your own stadium a year. So, and a lot of those stadiums that were in these NFL cities, a lot of them, they're purpose built. You know, they're purpose built for the NFL. Like, all you got to do is have a look at the configuration of is it CenturyLink Field in Seattle. Like, it is, you can just tell, you know, by the way that the grandstands and everything are, that's a purpose built stadium for the NFL.
Yeah, yeah. So just after that game, when you mentioned Mariota, the Denver Broncos getting over the Tennessee Titans. Ryan Tannehill coming in, I think it was late or early. I think it was mid, probably third quarter. He came in.
Mid third quarter. So, yeah, Mariota got benched. Yeah, two interceptions, 7 for 18, 63 yards.
So, yeah, I guess that was leading into what you were saying with Winston, is Mariota's bubble bursting, because they're 2-4. They're not going anywhere anytime soon. They're right in the bottom of that AFC South standings. I was a big fan of Mariota, but
he was terrific at Oregon. Like, you know, he was an explosive quarterback with the Oregon Ducks. So sometimes they transition well, and you know, it's obviously the place that you go into. That they look like they can still be successful quarterbacks, but it's just it all comes back, and it all comes back to having a decent offensive line. So if you can't get protected, and I think Mariota's offensive line is a hell of a lot worse than what Tampa's is. You know, with Winston, like Mariota just gets pummeled.
Yeah, he does. Yeah, he definitely does. And the other, I guess, with that game, I just wanted to touch on that. That I think we were going to allude to this later, just before we got on the pod. But Broncos defense finally getting it done.
Finally found some life.
Then they're still not a great high scoring team, but they, you know, they are 2-4 as well. But they, yeah, I mean, that game, it was probably a tale of two tapes, as in like, the offense of Tennessee Titans was absolutely terrible, and the Broncos D was finally doing what Broncos D, you know, especially when you got Von Miller riding that sort of. Linebacker, yeah, I know. Sorry, right edge or left edge, I should say.
Yeah, he plays a bit of both. He plays a bit of inside and outside linebacker. So, you know, and obviously, at the start of the year, they had Bradley Chubb there, but he's obviously gone for the season now. So that hurts. But you know, still when you've got a decent pass rusher like Von Miller, you really should be putting a lot more pressure on the quarterback
and there
than what
the
they've
ESPN.
Been doing. And they got 7 sacks in this game, which, yep, you know, in saying that, you know, Mariota, he's just been getting pummeled all year. So, you know, that's nothing new for the Tennessee offensive line to be, you know, letting people get into, you know, to get into the quarterback. So that's nothing new. Tannehill looked okay at the end there. I think he was 13 for 16. He ended up getting picked off late though, so I think it's not a blight on him. But you know, they're chasing points, and that's generally what happens, because that's what happened in that previous game that we talked about as well. Like Mariota was on 4 interceptions, and they were obviously chasing points, and he threw just an absolutely horrendous pass. I think they were on about the 30 yard line, so they were actually marching down the field okay, and then just threw an absolutely horrendous pass towards, I think it was Godwin, and it was way behind him, and it just picked off straight away, and it was an ordinary pass, but.
Looks like Tannehill is going to play next week too. By the way,
yeah. But look, I've read that Tannehill now is going to be the starter. So whether they just let Mariota's contract run out and he goes into free agency next year, it'd be interesting to see what happens there. Like, you know, hypothetically, you know, in 2015. Because I sort of remember that draft, and that there was all sorts of speculation that who would go number one, whether it would be Winston or Mariota.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it'd be interesting to see if at the end of the year if that's a direct swap. Yeah, they both
really?
Go into free
interesting.
If they go into free agency, yeah.
I could definitely see them going to free agency, because you're right, they're not playing just to get a new deal. There's no way they're playing to get a new deal.
No.
And there's plenty of teams hungry for a quarterback. Well, at least,
you know, but Mariota, Jameis Winston, like, his job is fairly safe because their backup Ryan Finley.
Yeah. But, yeah, I don't know.
He's never even started it, so... He's fairly, I would think he would be fairly safe in what he does.
Yeah.
So, but that's, I mean, obviously, you know, there was a reason why Tennessee went out and got Tannehill. Now, they obviously seen the writing on the wall, and now it's come to fruition.
Yeah, that's actually a really good point, yeah. The other game I want to talk about was, well, before the obvious game, was... I'm sure we can talk about that. So the Cardinals and the Falcons.
It was a bit of a shootout.
It was definitely a shootout, but we're talking about a team that, you know, that has that devotes that has a team of Matt Ryan, Austin Hooper, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. Like, it's befuddling to me how they are 1-5 this year. I don't know what the hell is going on in that team. I don't know if
they're the same as Tampa. They've got a brewing offense, except the problem is they've got Matt Ryan as their quarterback. Yeah, they've got Julio Jones. You got Calvin Ridley's in his second year. You got Devontae Freeman. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they've got the goods. They've got Austin Hooper, who's one of the best tight ends
this year.
That's getting around. Like, it's crazy. Yeah. Like how they get down 27-10.
Yep.
In that game, they obviously rallied back, and then it's just a, you know, that's a typical, you know, over the last couple of years, Atlanta way to lose, to miss on a point after touchdown or PAT.
And that, yeah, correct. But I think, I mean, it just befuddles me that, I mean, maybe it is their defense, or maybe it is the curse you talked about. I think in week two, the curse of them not getting out of line against the Pats. They have no soul.
They have no soul.
But
it has been stolen.
I really like. I'm really liking the way Kyler Murray's playing. He's starting
better.
To find his feet. He's getting better. You know, 340 yards, no interceptions,
and he's
which
rushing,
is always
and he's rushing more as well.
Yeah. So
that was his big thing. Was his was his ability to sort of, you know, once the pocket breaks down, was just to be able to get out of it and use his legs.
Yeah. They're a team on the way up. I mean, look, I know they're only 2-3-1, which is, you know, obviously it's not the greatest, but they, yeah, I don't know. They're a team on the way up. They have David Johnson, who's playing well at running back.
Finally.
Somehow, I still think they need a wide receiver because they can't keep relying on evergreen Larry Fitzgerald.
Larry's legs are gonna give out sooner or later.
They just, I don't know, I just think they're a team on the way up, especially having Kyler Murray there. Obviously, that, you know, all the talk about him going number one, and as small as he is, it seems to work. Clearly, it's working at the moment.
He'll obviously make some rookie mistakes and things like that. But if they can keep him fairly protected, it becomes that dual threat, and he's a shorter version of Lamar Jackson. Can hurt you. He can hurt you through the air, and can hurt you with his legs.
I just watching the game. I mean, I caught probably half of that game. I don't know how he sees over that O line. I have no idea.
Yeah,
it just
they're gonna have to get a step ladder or something like that for him. When he plays under center, like how the hell does he look over there? Do you know what I mean? Like, you know, a lot of their offense is all he'd see is shoulder pads and asses. Like, a lot of their offense has got to come out of the shotgun. So
true.
At least,
but even after shotgun, like he's only,
Once they stand up,
he's got. Yeah, I don't know. Well, clearly it's been working for him, and he got Heisman last year. I think the Falcons are on the way up.
The Falcons aren't. The Cards are.
Well, the Falcons aren't. The other team that's on the way down is if goddamn Dallas Cowboys. Okay, so let's point out.
Is it just a reality check though? That's all I'll say. Is this a reality check?
Let's point out the good stuff first. Sam Darnold, first game back, played really well. Like that was his first game back. 338 yards. Yeah, he threw an interception, but two touchdowns.
It's amazing what sort of spark he provided.
And
yeah,
he really
That team looked like, you know, they look like a competent football team.
They, you know, they've got Le'Veon Bell, but they didn't need to rely on Le'Veon Bell when, you know, two of their receivers, Robbie Anderson, got that pearler of a throw from Darnold and ran 95 yards for a touchdown.
92 yards. That was ridiculous. But the thing was about that, too, is the Cowboys had a 3rd-and-2 and a 4th-and-2.
Yep.
Went to Zeke, got stuffed. Forward on fourth, went to Dak Prescott, got stuffed. They turned it over on downs. Very next play, that first play from scrimmage that the Jets had, 92 yards to Robbie Anderson. Like that was a huge turning point in the game.
It was. But just touching on that 4th-and-2 with Dak Prescott running, they read that. You could see they were already moving that way, even before they started the snap. Like, they read that perfectly. They knew that's what he was going to do.
They read the Zeke one as well. Like, Zeke got stuffed the line of scrimmage as well.
It probably is a reality check, like you said, but
realistically, they should have won this game.
Should have won this game, and they nearly did, but...
No, that's right, yeah. A two-point conversion failed at the end.
Yeah. I just think Dak Prescott, mate, you should have signed that contract at the start of the year because we will probably re-sign you, and you know, yes, he'll be good, possibly long term. I don't think you're going to get the money that you want because
not setting the market the way it's going.
Teams are reading him, like it's I don't know, the last two games that I watched him, teams are easily reading what he's thinking. Which, isn't great. Like, I mean, the first two games they were on fire and everyone was raving about the offensive coordinator, that young guy. But it's just a reality check that I know Cowboys still aren't what they
Linden? I think it's Linden.
Yeah, and like they were all raving about how good he was and a new mind in there, and yeah, new mind. Let's lose to the goddamn, like, I'm not swearing, the goddamn Jets by two. But I don't know. They just, it was, it, I just think they're reading the offensive. That's the only thing that I could think that's wrong. I mean, there's a lot of things wrong with that team, but I could, yeah, I just, they're reading the offensive line way
they're
too
also,
easy.
Yeah, and it didn't help either that they lost Amari Cooper fairly early as well to that groin injury. So, you know, that didn't help. But the run game wasn't as dominant as what it should be with guys like Ezekiel Elliott. Man, I can't even say it this week. He's back up in Pollard. So do you know what I mean? Like, yeah, they should still be able to establish themselves with a decent running game. But I think that their offensive line as well is a little bit out of form, and I think now that they've gone up against decent defensive teams, and not to say that the Jets are a decent defensive team, but they've got Quinnen Williams there, who's just a wrecking ball.
Oh man,
ball.
They still don't have
CJ Mosley back, who's probably their best defensive player, like their linebacker. So, once he comes back, you know, defensively that their secondary is probably a little bit suspect, but their front seven is pretty good.
Yeah, agreed. Quinnen Williams, when he read that play to get down Dak Prescott, like, he just, it was a monster coming at him. Like,
he's an animal.
He is a large human being. He is a large human being, definitely.
Not like to see that food bill. I could just imagine him in the gym too. Good grief. Also too, like, you know, just something that just like a little bit out of the ordinary of that game too. Like, the Cowboys kicker Ma hit a 62-yarder at the end of the first half to sort of get them back in. Not to say how much into the game, but you know, that's 62 yards. Like, it's not as if they're kicking in Denver or anything in the high altitude. Like, this is, yeah, this is in New York. Like, that's a damn good kick. To sort of, you know, to put some points on the board as time is running out at the end of the first half.
Isn't it funny with kickers, but like when we all raved, like 4 or 5 years ago, they did a 50-yard, it was all like, wow, so good. And then just these 50-yard ones, they're just plotting them over like they're nothing.
Oh, they're plotting
62 yards is brilliant.
That's brilliant. Insane.
And that's definitely worth celebrating. I don't know where they find. I mean, I know some of them come from the AFL and all that, but I think that's more punters. But it's insane
not place kicking.
I don't know where they find these guys. Like,
I'd like to see what they do at training all week. Like, you know, whether they have, you know, the offensive and defensive guys, they're running their schemes and everything like that, and it's just like, cool. You know, you're the punt team, you're the kick team, and everything. Like, cool. Let's just kick goals for 2 hours.
Would you think there'd be a lot of factoring would you think there'd be a lot of factoring of like win stuff? Like, they, I don't know how you perpetrate win, but like, do you know, you have that win factor and all that.
In front of the offensive
big
line.
Why not? Yep. Maybe.
You could.
Yeah, so they, I guess it's to finish on the hapless goddamn Cowboys. They have the Eagles next week at Cowboys, so that game, big divisional game. I don't want to jinx anything because you're right. It's a big divisional game. That's probably the only thing I really want to say about it. That'll be a telling game for them. Either Philadelphia or Cowboys, win or lose, that'll be a telling game of the year because we're coming, like you said earlier, so close to the trade deadline. It'll be a massive telling game to see where they're going to be come finals.
Yeah, like like we said before, like nobody's running away with that division, and you know you're basically the Giants and the Redskins are no threat. So that's I mean your only threat in that division is Philly. So you knock Philly off this week, you know it's obviously in Big D. So it's you knock them off. You're 4-3. They're 3-4. So that's all right. You're essentially taking a full game off them, so that's making it a little bit harder for Philadelphia, and they got they got crushed by the Vikings this week. Like their secondary was just helpless, and Stephon Diggs got 3 touchdowns. Like Kirk Cousins looked like a world beater. So,
yeah, well, starting to be a world beater. Like that was like that was a really, I guess, finally a good game by the Vikings. They've always been a perennial playoff team. Correct.
That's their potential. That's exactly what they could do.
You know, they have, like you just said, they have the Stephon Diggs. They have the Kirk Cousins, who they signed for that reason. They had Adam Thielen, so they have the manpower.
And somebody who gets lost in all that is Kyle Rudolph, the tight end. Like, he had a really good season last year, and he hasn't been, he's hardly been used at all.
Yeah, correct. And is that a Kirk Cousins thing, or is that like what sort of Adam Thielen coming out last week said?
Yeah, they're sort of, if they get a little bit of load sharing and sort of spread the offense out around a little bit other than just Stephon Diggs and Adam Thielen. And so I think with the heavy running game as well with Dalvin Cook, and he's also a good pass catcher as well, so that probably takes a few targets away from Kyle Rudolph. So it's a nice problem to have a decent tight end like him just sort of sitting there and blocking and running good routes and not seeing sort of the fruits of receptions, but it's a nice problem to have and something you can lean on as well, because a lot of their check down stuff that they throw would be to Dalvin Cook and not to Kyle Rudolph. So
big fan of Dalvin Cook.
This was the kind of season that he probably should have had last year, but he got hurt.
I guess staying on that game with the Philly is Zach Ertz. Is something wrong there? Or is he just not getting the ball?
I don't know. Him and Carson Wentz have had a little bit of a falling out. I'm not sure. It's just it must be something. Like, you know, he's proven over the last two or three seasons that he's probably probably the best, apart from Gronk, who's not playing anymore. But he's one of the very top tight ends getting around at the moment. So it's just it's a bit it's interesting, because Philly doesn't really have that much of a running game either, so they rely a lot on the pass. So you'd think you'd try to spread the offense out a little bit, and whenever Deshaun Jackson comes back will be interesting, so they can really spread everything out. So Philly is interesting in that sort of regard. But if they can't stop points, and if they just keep getting pumped in the secondary, then that's going to be that's tough.
That is tough. I will give you high praise. Well, it's not really the Saints. I just them having Teddy Bridgewater, like they're 5-1. You know, no one. I mean, and I'll put myself in this. I mean, probably, except for you, obviously, not many people thought the New Orleans Saints, once Drew Brees went down, that they'll be 5-1 coming into week 7.
Yeah, God,
I'd be surprised if anybody did, because Teddy's getting it done. That was a great
pickup.
Getting it done. For them.
He's looking a little more comfortable as the weeks go on, and once again, the same situation that the Titans had with getting Tannehill as essentially an insurance policy. Teddy Bridgewater is the highest paid backup in the league. I think he's $7 or $8 million, and they got him specifically for this situation if Breeze goes down. That insurance policy is paying up right now. It also helps that he's got fairly good people to throw to, and Michael Thomas. Ted Ginn Jr. is he was hurt last year, but now he's coming back and looking like a decent second receiver there. Obviously Alvin Kamara, and they've got the dual tight ends as well. So, and that's
Latavius
something that
Murray's playing well too. I thought.
Yeah, Latavius Murray, I think he took a lot of pressure off because Kamara come into that game with an ankle injury, so he got through a little bit of pass work, but his rushing numbers were right down. I think purely on that fact they used him more as a receiver, and not a sort of a thumping running back like he normally does. And I think a lot of that weight was lifted by Latavius Murray. So, but they're winning games defensively as well.
Definitely.
Secondary is doing the same thing as what happened last year. The secondary was pretty ordinary to start the season, but as the season went on, it got better and better and better.
Yeah.
They're looking good. I still have trust issues with Bridgewater, but he's proven me wrong. You know, every week that they're getting the job done. I think Thomas had another. I think he had eight or nine catches, 80 odd yards. So, that was good. That was good. And going into Jacksonville as well. Without Jalen Ramsey, but they sort of stuffed. They stuffed Minshew Mania back into a trash can for a little while.
That was the thing. I think the burst is bubble on that one. That was the other thing I was going to bring up.
He looked very ordinary. So
very, very ordinary. So that's just I think the bubble's burst on that one.
We'll see how they go. But when you come up against a defensive team like the Saints, like I said, they're going from strength to strength at the moment. So it's unfortunate that they're having those slow starts, especially the last two seasons in the secondary. But getting better as time goes on. So it'll be interesting. They go to Chicago next week, so that'll be an interesting game to see whether Chase Daniel or if I don't know if Trubisky's ready to come back or not. But that'll be a very interesting game. And Drew Brees is throwing mini football, so. I think he's very much well on the mend. So when he comes
back. It'll be very interesting because you're coming up against a monster defensive team in the Chicago Bears.
You'd throw Teddy's to the Wolves there and wait for Brees to get healthy for another week. So
there's a monster waiting on that left edge for Teddy Bridgewater at Chicago. So, I guess segueing into news, unless there was any other games you wanted to touch on.
Just real quick, just about the Rams, and the Niners. As each growing week, I'm sort of believing a little bit more in the 49ers. So it'll be interesting to see when that bubble bursts.
My favorite West Coast team.
Aaron Donald, sort of. A couple of times he laid waste to Jimmy G, but he had that strip sack in the game, and they looked terrific in that first drive. Like they just marched down the field, scored straight up, and you're like, okay, the Rams are going to take it to the Niners, and then that was it. And offensively, they just look inept. Goff had one of if not his worst game of the season. Like he looked terrible.
78 yards. Yeah, it was.
Yeah, that's just man. Like that's brutal.
Yeah, you're right. I think I'm a big fan of the way San Francisco is playing at the moment. I mean, they're 5-0, so why wouldn't you? But I'm starting. I think it's more. I'm slowly starting to buy into the Jimmy G hype.
The thing is, he's not losing you games.
There hasn't been a lot of games where he's effectively shut out a game as well either. No. Like the Rams definitely could have come back on that, but
they're not asking him to do a whole lot because they've got that power run game. It's a three-headed monster essentially. So, they're not asking Garoppolo to do a whole lot. So, I think it's more on the amount of injuries that the Rams have sort of had. Like, they've had their left guard out. I think his name's Note Boom. Safety John Johnson. Todd Gurley's out. Aqib Talib was out. Clay Matthews was out. So these are all, fairly key players. that Rams machine sort of, you know, get themselves to an undeserving Super Bowl last year. But it's just, yeah, the injuries are sort of, they're piling up. They're piling up a little bit, and not salty at all.
No.
But they've lost three on the trot as well, same as the Cowboys. So they're being exposed a little bit, and without them, you know, being able to rely on Todd Gurley, is a little concerning.
Yeah.
And he missed this game, and Malcolm Brown is doing an admirable job filling in, but he's not Todd Gurley. He's not Todd Gurley.
And I don't think Todd Gurley is Todd Gurley. I think we talked about this at the start of the year. What was that? It was that guy that, I guess, led him to the Super Bowl, that running back that went nowhere.
CJ Anderson. Yeah. CJ Anderson filling in for Todd Gurley was terrific last year.
Yeah, and I just, you're right. I mean, I don't know what's going on with, with their offense. They've got so many offensive weapons. For Jared Goff to do 78 yards is just absolutely chaotic. I just don't.
Unacceptable. That's what it is. That's unacceptable. For somebody who's got the contract size that he's got, the people that you've got to throw to, Cooper Kupp as well.
Yeah.
You know, was close Very to being the lead, the leading the leading wide receiver as of last week, but Michael Thomas has probably overtaken him this week. Can the Wiz Kid, Sean McVay sort of, get them out of this?
Well, so now you've said go ahead twice into the news. I think the biggest way to get them out there, the biggest news that's come out that I guess this week was Rams have gone trade happy with everybody. I think they just went 32 teams. We were talking about this at the start before the pod. Like that, their GM must have been bored and just went, okay, who wants to trade? And
they've bored.
A flash email to 31 teams and said, who wants to trade?
got on the phone and go, hey, I feel like trading today. Let's go for it.
And everybody's bitten. The first team that bit was the Ravens trading. The Rams trading away Marcus Peters to the Ravens for linebacker Kenny Young. So and they were thin in the cornerback position already. But
just through injuries.
But yeah, I'm not a privy on Kenny Young. A lot, so I'm not sure how.
Marcus Peters is up and down as well. Like he had his year has been better to date this year than what it was last year. He was exposed a lot last year. Obviously, they had a keep to lead there as well, and the same thing this year. So, but yeah, slowly said sort of segueing right into the next trade. They clear a cornerback spot, and they essentially add one of the best cornerbacks in the league in Jalen Ramsey.
Yeah, so they've gave up two first round picks. So the first round for next year, 2020, 2021, and a fourth round in 2021 for Jalen Ramsey, who's definitely an All Pro quarterback.
And I'm sure his back is feeling a lot better now that he's out of Jacksonville and he's in the sunshine of LA. So yeah, that'll do wonders. That'll do wonders for your lower back. So he'll be inserted straight into the lineup next week.
And obviously, he's a 24. He's 24, so he's still a young cornerback. So, which is ridiculous for All Pro to be 24 the way he has played, I should say. But I don't know. To me, that's more of a win for the Jags instead of the Rams. One, because they picked up two picks, and two first round picks, was to say, and two, they got rid of. Surely it was toxic with him being there. So.
Well, him being there / not being there.
Being there, correct. What are your thoughts? I mean, obviously they're picking up a world class quarterback, the Rams, but.
It definitely helps the Rams, and obviously it doesn't help the Jags immediately because they got draft picks and they didn't get any any players that they can use now. So, you know, what happens to the Jags secondary now? How much do they regress?
Yeah, and that's probably what's going to. Well, I mean, they haven't regressed, but they haven't really been relying on him the entire year.
Well, they haven't been the really. Well, that's right. They haven't been for the last 3 weeks. So,
it's probably going to regress a little bit.
Yeah, I guess.
But
it had to happen because obviously.
You're right. Yeah. It had to happen.
Ramsey didn't want to be there.
No. Shahid Khan pushed hard.
Yeah, Shahid Khan.
He didn't want to make the deal.
He had to bite the bullet. Yeah. And you know it's not a bad return, to get couple of future firsts. It'll be interesting to see where the Rams end up by the end of the year to see how high those first round picks are. But even if they're later first round picks, they're gold. So
they're definitely gold. I mean, the way they're playing now, it could be a mid tier, 15 to 20.
That's right. So, yeah, that's right. Yeah, exactly. It's not as if it's going to be a shocking, right at the end of the first round. So,
I guess, do you think with just on that trade, do you think there was ever a thought of getting rid of the coach in Doug McDermott before making the trade? I mean, they are 2-4, but ever a thought? By Khan?
No, I don't think so. I don't think coaching or scheming is really a problem there in Jacksonville. And they've got the right amount of the right players and everything there. I think they could probably use a little bit of offensive line help or better scheming to try and get Leonard Fournette going a little bit more. But other than that, I think offensively they really shouldn't have too many problems once Nick Foles comes back. Minshew has been extremely admirable in the way that he's played over the last few weeks, or over the majority of the season, filling in for Nick Foles. So, and that's the thing too. Not a lot of people would have a lot of tape on Minshew, so it's a bit of the unexpected factor, so that they can sort of spring some things on teams. So that's it's interesting to see how they will look by the end of the year, and obviously they've got their defensive anchor in the young kid Josh Allen as well, so he's looking extremely menacing. So up front, defensively, they should be okay. It'll just be interesting to see where they go with those picks that they pick up from the Rams and where they actually are in the draft.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. There, right at the start of the pod, you were talking about touching on after week six, the surprise sort of teams and sort of teams that, I guess, surprised for the fact of the way they're playing this year.
Yes. Team slash players. Like, obviously, I don't think it's a huge surprise that McCaffrey is playing well. I think it's just a surprise that he's just putting up, the eyeball popping numbers that he actually is. So, I think for me, the surprise is the Bay Area in general. San Francisco is doing and what Oakland has done after, a tumultuous start of the season. I think Oakland surprised a lot of people this year. So, and also Carolina as well. Like I said earlier, who would have thought that Carolina, especially after after Cam Newton goes down.
Yeah.
How they've actually looked, with Kyle Allen. So, there's some surprises for me, some nice surprises for me for this year.
Yeah, I'd just echoing, on Carolina Panthers as well as the Oakland Raiders, both sitting second in their respective divisions, so they're both definitely at least within a chance for a wild card sort of
well, we're in the mix.
Spot. So, And with Oakland, I just think it's on the back of that that draft pick of Josh Jacobs, the running back. I think
he's been great.
He's been very good. It could have been the AB thing, and that sort of potted him along. But same as the Carolina Panthers. No one thought they were going to be, especially with NFC South division of Saints, Panthers, Buccaneers, and Falcons. I mean, no one thought they'd be 4-2, especially coming into sort of 6 weeks.
That's right. It should be a competitive division.
Yeah.
Like you said, for Carolina to be, two games over 500 and to be right in the mix for a wild card spot. So it'll be interesting to see how they sort of keep that up. And apparently Cam Newton is getting healthier by the day, and a big decision is coming for that organization to say, right, are we going to ride the hot hand in Kyle Allen, or are we going to put Newton straight back in?
I think you have to ride the hot hand, wouldn't you?
I think you do as well. 100%, you've got to ride the hot hand. And the more that you ride the hot hand, that means that the healthier that Newton can get.
Yeah.
And then, maybe once the bubble bursts on Kyle Allen, okay, then we can chuck Cam straight back in there and then see how we go.
Or put his or dangle the carrot out to one of the teams as trade bait, possibly. So,
that's true as well, because Newton's got next year left on his contract, and that's it. And he's a bit of a bargain, supposedly like $20 million. So, it'd be interesting to see where they go in that regard.
The other team that I was going to sort of touch on
maybe take. All I'm saying is whether they're looking at teams to maybe take Newton. So, we'll see how we go.
Just the Bills, just finishing on the teams. Yeah, they're really surprising me at 4-1.
Year. They were on my radar as well. They were a very close, second tier of surprises was the Buffalo Bills.
Josh Allen, he's playing out of his skin at the moment. I mean, because no one. I mean, when you got Frank Gore leading your running, rushing team, I didn't expect them 4-1 at all. But
no,
I mean, not that the AFC East is, littered with great teams, except for obviously the Pats. But
that's right. Well, the Patriots had that division one week one, so
yeah, definitely. Yeah, I totally agree. I just had to move the microphone away. That was that funny.
True.
It is true.
The division, they didn't have to wait until later on in the season, week 14 or 15. They had it won week one. So,
which is so
disappointments. Terrible. Disappointments for me. I'm being through the wrong. Yoko's defense did actually this past week, getting 7 sacks against, a hapless Titans team. But they've been very underwhelming, and the injury to Bradley Chubb has hurt. But when you've got a defensive coach guru in Vic Fangio, who came across, who was the Bears defensive coordinator last year, and they looked terrific last year, and to have a defensive anchor like Von Miller, they've been fairly underwhelming for me. They opened up this week, but they've been very underwhelming.
Yeah, I totally agree with that. They definitely in Von Miller, which, I was listening to ESPN just through YouTube, and there was talk of I don't know why and who and what. They wouldn't give him up, obviously, but there was rumors of Von Miller being on the trade block, but I really highly doubt they'll get rid of Von Miller.
No. Another rumor that's been floating around as well is Mike Tomlin to the Redskins. Good God, whoever come up with that rumor should uppercut themselves. Like, that is the most insane thing I've ever heard. Why the hell would he want to go to, or from such a stable organization, especially in coaching wise, as the Pittsburgh Steelers, and walk into that dumpster fire that's the Washington Redskins? Like, good God.
Do you think the Chargers have been pretty disappointing this season,
they've
the way as well they played last year? Yeah,
they've been disappointing. Whether the Melvin Gordon holdout has sort of stunted their growth a little bit.
That's
Obviously,
fair.
the
Yeah, that's fair.
Browns, with all the hype at the start of the year, they've been very disappointing. And also for me as well, I think Carson Wentz this year has been very disappointing.
Oh, he's one of my favorites. Oh, yeah. You know, why do you...
I know, but he's a top player. But you know, Philly hasn't looked good, and you know, Carson Wentz is taking a long time to get into games have been real ordinary. And you know, once they have to start to chase points, and you know, they've got the weapons to throw around. And okay, some of their receivers have had a case of the dropsies, and you know, with Nelson Aguilar and you know, but Zach Ertz, Alshon Jeffrey, when DeSean Jackson comes back, like they've got to be better. And Carson Wentz he's got to be better.
Yeah, no, okay. Yeah, I do agree. I mean, injuries aside that he had the last couple of years, he's a very perennial slow starter, exactly what you said. He seems
every
to like
game
coming
they every game they seem to be behind, and you know, it's on him to be able to fight and bring him back, and whether they win or lose, they can't afford to keep starting off so slowly.
No, and no, I mean no quarterback could. No quarterback really should, if he starts late, shouldn't be playing catch up. They should be, yeah, at least being on the front foot, at least be attempting not to play from behind. And you're probably right. He probably really isn't this year. Yeah, he's a very, very slow starter. Definitely agree with that.
Well, and that's the thing. He got paid this year. So, yeah, time to start earning them paychecks.
Yeah, interesting enough. Yeah, I guess finishing up those paychecks, signed in preseason. That's just such a smart move for those guys to do it before the start of the season. I mean, if I was a quarterback chasing some money, and in the Jared Goff money and that Carson Wentz money we're talking about here, they both come out of the same draft class. Yeah, why wouldn't you sign before the season starts?
That's right.
You've both had hot seasons last year. Yeah, I very smart by their agents and them. So.
Yeah, gotta ride the cash wave and get that money. I mean, it's none of it's going to be record setting, market setting numbers. You've got to cash in. You got to make sure you get that guaranteed money up. And like we were talking about earlier with Prescott, he's not going to be a market setter. He's just not.
Is what's his name? I mean, the only one that I can see being market setter is a market setter would be the Kansas City Chiefs quarterback. That contract
Mahomes is going to get
$200 million. Oh my god!
He's going to get $200 million. That's what I've heard.
$200 million. Every time I hear it, it's just profound. I mean, crazy. Obviously the way he's playing and his they haven't been doing great this year, but his stats have been ridiculous this year already.
They're out of this world.
$200 million.
And he's been hurt the last two games.
It'd be interesting to see how much that's guaranteed. So it'll be one of the most unprecedented.
$199 million. If I was his agent, that's what I'd be asking for.
$199 million.
That's what I'd be asking for.
I guess just finishing on him, the Kansas City owner and general manager would love their franchise quarterback to play next season, but just the $2.7 million in the fourth year of his rookie deal. There's no way that's happening. $2.7 million.
Move that decimal place over two spots.
Two spots? Oh, my $270 million. Oh, it'll be the biggest contract ever.
I'll be trying to wrap him up for as long as possible, and you know, hopefully not too much that breaks the bank. But
NBA size contract, like these NBA contracts.
It'll be close. It'll be very close.
It'll be NBA size contracts, which is it's phenomenal.
If Wilson's the highest, if he's the highest paid at 35,
yeah,
Mahomes has got to be. He's got to be 40. He's got to be 40 plus. It's got to be 40.
So if he gets a 5-year 200, that's the $40 million. Level for him, so
that's 199 guaranteed.
Yeah, no. Oh my god, That's a good way to finish. 199 million guaranteed. Oh my god.
Oh.
Yeah, well, that'll
do us for this week. We'll wrap things up. So week 7 coming up next week. Some interesting divisional games. Yeah, that's like we touched on before with Dallas and Philly sort of being intriguing. So that'll be something definitely to watch for. Thanks for the dental cavity look search. There. Thank you very much. Cavity search. Good grief.
Sorry, inside microphone joke.
Oh, if only we're putting this on YouTube. Anyway.
Yeah, I could do that.
So thanks, everybody. Don't forget to follow us on our social media platforms. We're on Facebook, and it's the Final Play Podcast. We are on Twitter, which is the handle at Final Play Pod. If you're looking for us on Spotify, with a bit of luck, the Gimco Podcasting Network is up and running and being very good to us. So just search Gimco, G-I-M-K-O, and you'll see the Final Play Podcast on there. We're also on SoundCloud as well. We are fully functional on Podbean as well. So big shout out to Dom and Mojo King. They've been slowed under with AFL supremacy, but that's winding up soon. So
the King.
We can get a little bit more love from the Eureka universe and Gimco. So we'll take a second place, but we'll see how we go.
I'll always take a second place to Mojo King.
Oh no, that's
the best name ever. Who thought of that, Mojo King? I love it.
He's the man. It's almost it's not quite as good as Funaki, but Mojo King's good.
I'm definitely Stephen Funaki Adams. Oh, I can't wait till we talk about NBA.
Oh, that is the best. So yeah, look out for us on the NBA. The NBA is a week away, people. Very exciting. So we will be doing a season preview on that coming up shortly. So look out for that as well. So we'll catch everybody next time. And enjoy your NFL and your NBA preseason.
Have a good week, everyone. Cheers.
See ya.